All right, we're going back to the podium right now. RG3 is speaking to the media.
Getting to know the new teammates, and it's truly an honor to be in this league. So just glad they gave me an opportunity.
Hey, Robert, Mike Shanahan said that you called him to thank him for making a recommendation to Jeff Fisher. And he went on to say that he feels that if you go back to what you did in 2012 with the 50 series stuff and design runs, that you can get back to where you were. Do you feel that way too?
I did call Mike, and I had a great conversation with him. But when it comes to that stuff, I trust that what Hugh and Pep are going to do with this offense, it won't just be about me, and it'll be what's best suited for the team. So I just look forward to growing within that and becoming the player and reaching my potential as fast as I possibly can.
Other than physically, what do you have to do differently, mentally or whatever, to get back to that quarterback that you were in 2012?
I just want to play ball, man. I'm excited to be here. Last year, I didn't have an opportunity to play football, so to have that opportunity here and compete and grow, it's truly a blessing. So that's really all I'm focused on. Just go out there, play, learn the offense, and do what I possibly can to help this team win.
What has Hugh done so far to acclimate you to his offense and his way of thinking just in the time that you've been here so far? I know it's brief.
Yeah, it's just the way he approaches the game, the way he approaches every day. I think the team can kind of feel that. Just the way he talks to you, the way his expectations of this team. And those are all things that, you know, we keep in-house, but it's just a good vibe to be around. And every day you wake up wanting to come to work even more.
You mentioned Hugh's offense, and it's only been a couple of days, but what kind of offense do you expect him to run, and how do you think it would match up with your skill set?
No, I mean, I think, like I said, we're going to run the best offense that we can for the personnel that we have. And, that's why they call him coach. And he'll put us in positions to be successful, and I think everybody trusts that. So we're just trying to make sure we master what it is that coach wants us to language. And so I think, like I said, we're going to run the best offense that we can. That's what we'll run.
Robert, you were a number two pick in the draft, and now the Browns have a number two pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. You know, if they take a quarterback, it's going to be a lot of pressure internally and externally to see him play. What are your thoughts on what may happen on draft day?
Oh, I really don't know. It's really up to higher management that's, you know, way above my pay grade. So I just go out, compete, have fun, grow with the team, and whatever they decide to do with the second pick or any picks after that is truly up to them. I didn't, you know, sign on the dotted line to draft players and came here because I want to play football. So I trust that whatever they do is in the best interest of the team, and just go from there.
Spend some time out there with Tom House, and if so, you know, what are you working on? How did it go? And would you do that more extensively throughout the offseason?
How you doing, Mary Kay? Doing good? I just have been in communication with Tom House, and I just know that he's worked with a lot of great players in the past and still does even to today. So I really wanted to be a part of that and continue to grow my knowledge base. I think, you know, it'll be really good to learn from a guy like him who has dealt with so many guys in the league and helped them develop in ways that, you know, not everybody can. So I'm excited to see how that goes and truly grow.
What was it like for you last year, Robert? I mean, you were healthy and I mean, it just was such a fall from 2012. What was all that like for you?
I don't know. It's like, have you ever been able to not write? Yeah, so you know, it's one of those things that you love to do something so much, and when that's stripped away from you, one of two things can happen. You can either tank it and allow it to break you, or you can let it build you up and show you that, you know, you really love this game. And it was a process last year, but you know, I come here, you know, today more excited to be with these guys, and I know that the passion in that locker room is reciprocated on what we want to do here.
Robert, do you feel responsibility or for a role in the fact that you had the greatest rookie year for a quarterback in the history of the NFL, and then 3 years later you're not there anymore? I mean, as you look back on it, can you look at yourself and say there are things I maybe could have done differently?
Oh, no doubt. I definitely do. You know, I've grown a lot since 2012 and just throughout the whole process of all those years there in Washington. So I'm not oblivious to that fact. I know there's things that I could have done differently, but today I can't focus on that. You know, I have to focus on what I'm doing here with the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, I keep saying I'm excited, but everyone in that locker room is excited about the opportunity before us and what we can do for the city.
What was the toughest question that you got from Hugh Jackson? What did you feel you needed to convince him of?
I mean, you know, every question that you can think of was asked. You know, they were very thorough in the interview process with what they wanted to know from me about what happened in D.C. You know, as a player, like, you know, I think I saw him say that, you know, he didn't think that I wasn't clogged up anymore or whatever phrase he used. You know, you just have to learn from what happened, learn from your mistakes, take your success and try to build upon that. So that's really what we're trying to do here. And I'm not, you know, trying to let any baggage hold me down from the past, but I do have a massive chip on my shoulder. I know this team has a massive chip on its shoulder.
When he says that he feels that you are a humbled Robert Griffin, do you agree with that?
I mean, if you say you're humble, then you're not humble. So I can't say that. No, I just think I'm more experienced. I'm not, you know, I'm still a kid. I feel like I'm 26. We're all kids. We get to play a kid's game. You know, one of my teammates in Washington, Kedrick Golson, said we play a kid's game for a king's ransom, and it's the truth. So if it's a kid's game, you got to have fun doing it. But I do think I'm more experienced, and I kind of know how to navigate the waters, and you know that'll help me. As a player here, it'll help me as a player to lead this team as well.
Is it your expectation when you walk in here, I'm winning the starting job, that's it?
I mean, I think that's everybody's expectation when you play quarterback in the National Football League. It's just, it is what it is. Only one guy gets to play. But the stronger we are in that group, you know, in that room, the stronger football team we'll have. So, and no one's, you know, going to step on anybody's toes, but we're all here to compete, all here to win a job, and at the end of the day, do what we can to help this team win.
How close of a player are you now to the player you were in 2012?
I mean, well, I had a whole year off, so, you know, I feel good, pretty good health-wise, but I think the experience that I've gained over the years of being in the NFL really helped me master the offense and kind of know how to attack the defenses in this division.
Did your confidence take a hit at all in the last couple of years in Washington, or do you still think you can be that player that everybody thought you were as a rookie?
I mean, the confidence, you know, it's you either have it or you don't, so I don't think that'll ever be an issue. I just really want to grow with this team, continue to learn, expand my knowledge base, and try to get the ball to those playmakers that we have and let them do all the work. My job is just to be the point guard.
Do you still feel like you have the ability of being the best quarterback? Do you still feel like you can be the best quarterback in the NFL? You said that at one point.
I'm not going to get caught in that one again, but it's, you know, you have to have a belief, and what you believe on the inside comes out in the way you approach the game and the way your teammates see you. So you have to have confidence.
What's the relationship between you and Josh McCown been like thus far? Obviously, both of you trying to be leaders in that room. What's that been like?
Yeah, it's great. I just, like I said, you know, for us as quarterbacks, the closer we are as a group, the better the team will be. And, you know, we're two faith-based guys, you know, God-fearing individuals. So is Austin and Connor. So it's been great conversation, great learning the offense together and really getting out there and trying to teach it to the rest of the guys.
When you first heard that Cleveland was interested in you,
I just thought it was another opportunity and felt blessed. So I'm excited to be here. You know, you know, sometimes you don't get to pick where you play. And one of the things that I thought about this opportunity was it was a great opportunity to grow with Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton. And I did get a chance to pick. So I felt like that was a blessing. And I'm very excited about my decision.
Robert, obviously you're not the head coach, and your offense that you're going to run is what he's going to put in. But would you be surprised, given what you did in 2012, if there weren't some zone read elements somewhere in the system that you guys are going to run?
No, I mean, I wouldn't be. I mean, that they ran zone read with Andy in Cincinnati, so I mean, I'm sure it'll be sprinkled in there somewhere. But you know, that all depends on what we do best. You know, if we're the best zone read team all throughout camp and mini camps and training camp, then I guess that's what we'll do. If we're not, then we won't do it. I'm not afraid to sit in the pocket and throw the ball. Not afraid to run the zone read. Not afraid to do what's best for this team.
Can you protect yourself? Because remember, sliding was an issue. Do you feel like you can protect yourself if you have to run that stuff now?
Yeah, I do. We were running a drill the other day, and I just hit a perfect slide. I was like, man, I've really been working on that. So I felt good about that one, but, I'll protect myself.
Some of your teammates have said that you called them even before workout started. What has been your message to guys when you've been introducing yourself?
Just excited to be here. I know the history, a little bit of Cleveland, and guys sometimes don't want to come here. I wanted to come here. I want to be here, and I wanted them to know that. They call this the land, so we're going to make this ours. But to be here.
Basically separated him.
That is RG3, brand new quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. We're going to grab a break as we've had some technical difficulties carrying RG3's interview. We'll be right back.
It's not about I, it's about we.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you consciously feel like you have to be more conscious of in this evolution?
As you can hear.
Always been the way it is, regardless of what storylines they want to write. It's always been we. Even when coming out of college, it was always it's not about me, it's about we, it's about us. And I just think as a quarterback in this league, you're going to get all the attention. You know, you win, it's, man, that guy's awesome. You lose, this guy is terrible. And as a quarterback, you in the National Football League, you have to understand that and realize that it's always those guys, you know. And when you lose, it is always you. And that's the way you have to approach the game. And even if you approach it that way to yourself, you have to be able to come in front of the mic and talk to you guys and say the exact same things, because one little slip up makes it a national story. And I think that's what happened to me through my experience as a player in Washington. And I know that now. So, you know, after a loss, you can't be emotional and say things that are meant to be behind closed doors or that might be taken the wrong way. Because it's just the way it is. So I understand that now, and I don't hold that against anybody else. I just know that what I have to do as a player and as a leader of this team, and I'm going to do that.
Robert, most quarterbacks are in this league only as good as the talent around them. And, you know, every day we see, another starter, walking out the door, or, players lost in free agency. There's been a mass exodus. It seems like a massive rebuild going on. Have you had an opportunity to assess what kind of talent is going to be around you, and do you see enough weapons on offense and a good enough defense for you to look good?
I definitely see how guys are working every single day, and believe it or not, everybody in the NFL is talented. It's all about how you utilize them. So I'm very excited about what we do have and what we're going to add through the draft or other means. But like I said, that's not my focus. I get a chance to work with these guys every single day. I see how they work. I see how they come to work ready to go, how they prepare, how they're learning the offense, learning the formations, learning what we want to do. And that's what's exciting. It's real exciting when you know guys are going to be where they're supposed to be and they're hungry. We're all hungry. Like I said, we all have a chip on our shoulder, and we haven't eaten dinner in a long time, so we're going to go get it.
When you say the offense will be run to the personnel you have, for you, does that have to be the zone read option?
I mean, like I said, it can be anything. It could be under center drop back passing. It could be play action passing. It could be a heavy run game. Whatever coach decides, this is what we're going to be. This is our identity. We are all going to buy into that. And I think all the guys know that. It starts up front with Joe. And, I'm excited to have him on the offensive line and lead that group. So we're real excited. Just, can't say it enough.
Robert, you seem happy. How important is this second chance? How motivating is that for you? It seems like you're really embracing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's a blessing to be in this league and to have the opportunity to play football at the highest level. So I'm real excited about it. And, why not be happy? Like I said, we play a kid's game for a king's ransom. This is the best job in the world. And I want to really embrace that. I want all the guys in that locker room to embrace that and truly try to reach their full potential.
Real quickly, is this something about getting the quarterback position right here too, considering what happened with Johnny and other so many guys that have been through here? Do you feel a little extra pressure to get it right here as a quarterback?
I mean, no pressure, no diamonds.
A walk-off from RG3.
Love the walk-off. No pressure, no diamonds. I learned that, interestingly enough, as a young person watching the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So he talked about how tightly wound his friend Cam was. That means nothing to you? You watch that movie? Are you too young for Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
No, I know that movie. They steal the dad's car. Yes. They drop it off.
Yes.
The car wash guys, the parking lot attendant takes it for a spin.
Uh-huh.
Of course. Yeah. Dancing on the piano.
When he goes, trust me.
Yes.
I'm a professional.
Yes. And then you try to, use cinder blocks to roll the miles back.
All right, here's your one Ferris Bueller trivia question.
Uh-oh.
What was his name when he tried to get a reservation at that fancy restaurant as the Sausage King of Chicago?
I just watched this scene less than a month
ago. I'll give you the first name, Abe.
Something Min. Something Min.
Not Mopedman.
Not Mopedman. Abe Froman?
Abe Froman.
Abe Froman.
The Sausage King of Chicago. Yes. All right, we'll be back. We're going to talk about this RG3 press conference. I thought the way that I feel is hard not to root for him. Said all the right things. Comes across as genuine.
Is there a number 10 jersey in the pro shop yet? That is my question.
It will be soon. And the man pointing at us right now,
with Griffin 3,
down to the podium, Hugh Jackson, will have that for you when we return. And I'll say this, we've seen the Browns win press conferences before. We need to see them win on the field.
Yeah.
But I do feel good about what I heard from RG3. We're sending a guy to the microphone who's got the gift of gab. And I'm very excited to hear what's from Hugh Jackson. That will be coming up when we return on CBD. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. The head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson.
The classroom. I think we all understand that we have a lot of work to do. And I think our players understand the expectation each and every day. And I think they're working extremely hard to meet that expectation. But again, we're just going to put our head down, because we do understand to be the type of team we want to be, there's a lot of work ahead. So, and I think we all get that. It's been reinforced from our staff to our players, and from our players to our staff. It's kind of gone both ways, which has been really good. So we're looking forward to the challenge, but we just got so much to do. But at the same time, we have a lot of time to do it in. So we'll get that accomplished.
Tell us about your thoughts on, obviously Josh McCown came in here asking questions about what his future is with the team. What can you tell us about?
I couldn't hear the beginning of that.
Oh, I was just saying, what could you tell us about Josh McCown's future with the team here, especially after bringing
Josh McCown is a tremendous football player. You don't play in this league for 15 years and not having been very good at what you do. And he provides us with a really good quarterback, obviously veteran presence. And I'm just excited to work with him. As far as what's going to happen in the future, I'm not concerned about that. And I haven't talked to Josh. He isn't either. What we're worried about is getting better each and every day when we walk in this building. And that goes for our coaches to our players. When we get out of our cars, we got one thing on our mind, and that's to get better.
Coach, do you think you have a lot of design running plays built in the system for Robert?
I don't think in our system it's not just about Robert. Our system's about our offensive players, and I think we're flexible enough to handle who's ever playing for us, not just at quarterback, but at running back, at receiver, at tight end, everywhere. And that's the flexibility I think you have to have as an offensive football team in a National Football League, because the defenses are just too good. So we'll be able, I've said from day one we want to be very dynamic on offense, and I think we'll be that, as we continue to move forward.
Feels very blessed to have been given this second chance. Robert said he feels very blessed about having been given this second chance. What did he do that convinced you he was worthy of this second chance?
Well, first of all, it wasn't just me, that he convinced. And obviously, I had a role in it. but Sashi and Paul DePodesta and Andrew Perry and Pep Hamilton and myself, we all spent a lot of time with Robert. And it was the right decision for us. I mean, obviously, he was looking for an opportunity. And I think the conversations that we had with him, the opportunity to sit and talk about football with him, the opportunity to sit and talk about his past and what was good and what could we fix. Those were the things that I felt very strongly about. And I think he showed me that he's grown, that he's learned. He understands that sometimes we all play roles when things don't go well. It's not just one side or the other, that he had a hand in that as well. And that he wanted to move beyond that and grow and become better. And obviously that's what he's doing.
Did anything happen with Joe Haden between that Arizona game? Obviously you weren't here, but and it seems odd that it would take 5 months.
Let me tell you about Joe Haden. All I know is this guy's working his tail off right now. Joe was probably a little disappointed when it came out that it was going to be a little while before he makes it back. And I'm not going to put a timetable on how it happened, when it happened, or exactly when he'll get back. I just know this. He's in this building every day, working extremely hard and wanting to be back out there with his teammates and doing exactly what they're doing. There's not a guy in the building that's working as hard as he is. Trust me when I tell you that.
Do you know what happened?
Do I know what happened? No, I don't. Like you said, I wasn't here. So, I mean, I know what's going on now. Obviously, it's an ankle. And we're working through that. But when Joe Haden is back, he's going to be back playing the way he's always plays, one of the best corners in the league.
When you look at the film,
the timing of Dante Whitner's release, you know, like some of the other guys released earlier than him, is obviously just bothered him.
Well, obviously, you know, it's been kind of said that I know it was a hard situation, but I think we all know in the National Football League, decisions are made when it's time to make those decisions. And it's unfortunate that it happened when it did. But at the same time, I think you guys know there's never any perfect timing to make those choices except for when you make them. And you guys have seen guys that's going to be let go right before the draft, right after the draft, and there's be some in training camp. So I get it. I mean, I know it's unfortunate it happened that way, but I think we all recognize and know that those things do happen. We made the decision when it was time for us to make the decision. I mean, and obviously that decision wasn't made before, because if it was, we would have made that decision earlier. So I get it, and I know the feeling in that situation, but trust me, we went through this 1,000 times to get to that conclusion, so it wasn't like it was just a knee-jerk reaction.
Coach, you said that you didn't talk to Jay Gruden about Robert, and you guys were, you know, on Marvin's staff together, mm-hmm. and you didn't talk to Mike Shanahan either. Can you?
That didn't mean I didn't call.
Well,
it just It doesn't mean that I mean, everybody I've heard that said, and I think what was important. There's other people that are around Jay that I do know. There's other people that I know that have worked for Mike. You know, so if I can't get in contact with you right away, I think we all can recognize in this room that I am pretty busy, you know, and doing a lot of different things. And so I think what's important is I felt very comfortable with the people that I did talk to when I was able to talk to them and find out exactly what I need to find out for me to feel very comfortable with Robert. And I feel more than comfortable with Robert.
But Coach, can you understand why from the outside It would look strange if you didn't talk to either one of them?
But I don't think that's strange. You know, I mean, you might look at it as strange, and I get that. But I don't think that's strange when maybe if you do attempt to and you can't get people. You know, if I don't talk to someone directly, then I have to move on because my day is really filled. And if I can talk to people that I really trust as well as those men, and those men are great football men. But there's other people that I have maybe been around a little more that I can speak to, who will really tell me exactly what I needed to know. Not that Jay or Mike wouldn't, but again, and they are. They're fine coaches, and they've done great in their careers, and Jay still is. But trust me, I got enough information that I needed to feel very comfortable with the decision that was made here.
When you looked at RG3's workout and also thinking too, you said some significant injuries. Could you tell he's healthy? What could you tell from watching him?
Oh, he's healthy. There's no question about that. He's very healthy.
Is there what, I mean, because I've had two ACLs in the same game, and he is a mobile guy. Mm-hmm. So, in terms of coming back, what made you convince, I guess what convinced you that he's healthy?
why I think, you know, you go through all the right protocols. I mean, obviously he had to take a physical, and then he was able to work out for us and did any and everything that we asked him to do. And he looked, you know, extremely well doing it. So after the doctor says that he's healthy and watching him work out, and I think he's extremely healthy. And he's been, obviously, in our off-season program, there's been no issues whatsoever.
Can he succeed as a pocket passer, or do you have to run read option with him?
I don't think you have to do anything. I think what you have to do is let the young man play. I don't think it's about read option or can he succeed in the pocket. We're going to build our quarterbacks from the ground up, you know, and we have a long ways to go, and we'll find out what's best for Robert and the rest of our football team as we move forward. I think it's a little early. You know, obviously we haven't had a chance to go out on the field and do anything, but that's coming. And when it does, we'll have a better idea of what's best for him and what's best for our football team.
When you watch film of him from Washington, what does he have to do better or differently to get back to that Pro Bowl form of his rookie year?
Well, I think what's important, I don't really think in terms of what does he need to do about 2012 because it's 2016. I think what he needs to do is play quarterback the way the Cleveland Browns want him to play quarterback and the way I have a vision for that position playing. And again, we put this young man on our football team to compete and to give him an opportunity. We have some other young quarterbacks here, and we're going to coach all these guys the same and hopefully get them to be able to play the way we think they can play. I think they all have different strengths, you know, obviously, because they're different. They're different people. But at the same time, we create an environment for our quarterback to be as good as he can be, and that's what we're going to do for all of them.
More time with him on the field, obviously, as you move forward. But is there anything that you can say as far as how you assess how Robert is seeing the field or reading defenses or deciphering or, you know, where his skill set is right now, even as you still need to move forward?
Right. You know, Josina, I think it's really early, you know, because, again, I haven't had that opportunity to be on the field with him. You know, the CBA rules won't let you do a lot at this point. So we'll know more as we move forward. But I feel, again, you know, having spent time with him, watched football with him, I feel very comfortable with where he is there. I mean, we all have things to get better at. You know, every last one of our quarterbacks, our team needs to get better collectively at every position. So it's not just the quarterback or just Robert. We all need to get better, and that's what the expectation is here.
Reinstates Josh Gordon. Do you want him on your team?
I think it'd be premature for me to even talk about that because he hasn't been reinstated.
The turnover that's taking place this offseason, how much of it, of the decision-making process between you and the front office, has to do with culture within the locker room? And, you know, coming in here this year, a team that's had a ton of head coaches in a short amount of time, how challenging is it for you to really establish that culture that you want to see amongst the group of players that have heard the speech that you gave to them on Monday about turning it around from, you know, four, five, six other guys?
Well, first of all, I don't know if you know exactly what I said on Monday, but I will say this. I think because you mentioned the players that have left here, you know, I think I've said it before, you know, these players get an opportunity to stay or go. It's not just our decision. It's got to work both ways. And sometimes it happens that way. But at the same time, we're not going to bury our heads in the sand. We're going to work. And it provides more opportunities for guys who are on this football team to step up and have opportunities to seize those positions. Now, only time will tell who those men are and what they'll be able to do. But we do know that there are some people here that have an opportunity to move forward in their careers and get better, just like the men before them. You know, as far as what's gone on with past head coaches, I can't speak to that. That wasn't my concern. You know, I feel very comfortable with the direction of our organization, you know, from top down. I'm talking about from Jimmy to D to Sashi to Paul with Andrew. We've been in lockstep with everything we've done, you know, and I know sometimes people don't get that because they see things happen and says, well, it must be different. There's no better group than I've ever been around than the guys that I'm working with each and every day. And I feel very blessed and fortunate to be in this situation, regardless of what the outside people think. I think our football team understands where we are and what we need to do. And what we need to do is just put our head down and work, you know, and we'll let everybody else talk about all the other things that are going on. We're only interested in working and getting better.
What have you seen from Cam Irving in the 3 days you've been together? Because he had struggles last year.
Well, again, that was last year. I think he's excited about working, and I think he's committed to what he needs to do to continue to get better. I think he's working at it each and every day. I've been fairly impressed with all of our guys for 3 days, but it's just been 3 days, you know, and we have a long time to go. But I think the guys understand what the process is each and every day, and I think they're getting the idea of what it's going to take to get there.
What was so important about signing DeMario Davis?
He's a good football player.
I mean, is there more to it? I mean, do you look at him as a guy that can be one of your leaders?
Oh, there's no question. I think he can. I think he truly will be. I think he's playing the position that he plays, you know, kind of thrust that on you. But I think he's looking forward to it. He's a very talented football player. He's very athletic. And I think he kind of likes to mix it up a little bit. And not a little bit, but a lot. And I think he likes playing football. You know, so he's a guy that we've put on our football team that we think is going to help us as we continue to move forward.
To restore Robert's game is a project.
Who?
A lot of work.
I'm sorry?
To restore Robert to his former game is a challenge. You're drafting a quarterback at some point. To acclimate him to the NFL is another project. You're in your first year with a new team.
Oh, I love it.
Installing a new offense. You're going to call plays. Why isn't this too much on your plate?
Well, yeah, I've been here before. Not maybe to that degree, but I've seen this a little bit before in my career, you know, being in Oakland. Obviously, we didn't draft a quarterback. But I think at the same time, you know, everybody keeps saying what we're going to do. And like you said, at some point in time, I know what you're trying to get at. But we will at some point. You know, hopefully we will add. I love adding other arms on the team. But I don't know how that's going to all unfold. We're going to do what we think is best for our football team as we continue to move forward. But when I look at it from my standpoint, I'm surrounded with, as I said before, I think one of the best staffs in football. I'm truly blessed to have the men that I have on my staff. So I'm not doing this alone. This is not the Hugh Jackson show. This is the Cleveland Browns show. And I have some very capable guys in Pep Hamilton and Al Saunders and Greg Seaman and Kirby Wilson who are there to pick up any piece that I may drop. Trust me when I tell you that.
Now that you have Robert in the building, do you think his presence here at all will influence you guys one way or another, whether you'll take a quarterback early?
You know, I think that's a question for Sashi. But at the same time, I don't think, you know, that had anything to do with the draft. I think the draft is going to play out, you know, for us the way it will. I'm all about adding good football players to our team at any way possible. I mean, I think everybody is. If there's an opportunity to make our team better, then that's what we need to do all the time. And I think the players truly understand that too. You know, at the end of the day, this is about being as good as you can be. This is not about feelings. This is not about relationships. This is about winning football games. And I think we all understand that.
How much more has your methodology grown after being under Lewis, under Gunther, you know, as a play caller, and how you translate the things that you know to the quarterback? Obviously, we saw the way in which Andy Dalton developed and had the benefit of what you also learned and how you grew as a coach. Can you describe that and how maybe you'll translate that to Robert as well?
Well, I've worked under some tremendous people. As you mentioned, you know, I can go all the way back to Marty Schottenheimer, who was here when it was really good, you know, to Marvin Lewis, who was a close personal friend, to John Harbaugh, you know, who gave me a chance to coach and help draft his quarterback. So, I mean, you learn a little bit everywhere you go, and you take the good, and you try to learn from the things that you can do a little bit better. I can still go back to Al Davis, who was one of my greatest mentors, who always talked about just win. And at the end of the day, that's what this business is all about. And so what I try to do is take the things that were really good from the people I've been around and try to instill them, you know, in the people who are around me, because those people have had great success, you know, as they've gone through their career. So it's been great. And again, at the end of the day, I'm not trying to be any of those guys. I'm me, and our football team will be the Cleveland Browns and nobody else's football team.
Three more.
What makes you confident? I mean, not a lot of people seem to be clamoring for RG3 at this point, and obviously Jay, I mean, he's the moments of the third team there. What makes you confident that you can kind of revive his career?
Well, I mean, again, I don't think it's just about me reviving his career. I think at the end of the day, RG3 is going to do the work. You know, my job is to create the environment for him to do the work and do everything I can to help and assist him be the best he can be. And you have to have a player that's willing to accept that. And he has from day one. He's done everything we've asked him to do. And the young man comes early and stay late. But again, I'm about people and creating environments for guys to get better. And like I said before, it's not just him. I think collectively as a football team at every position, we need to get better. And so, again, we're just going to keep putting our heads down and keep working.
In the owners' meetings, you said you wanted to kind of give Terrell Pryor a position to focus on before you guys started your off-season program. So what did you decide on that?
Again, I still think until we can get on the grass, it's still a little early. Yeah, it's still a little early. But I think, again, he's a talented individual. He can do a lot of different things, and we'll find a way to showcase his talent and ability, you know. And obviously we all know he's very gifted in a lot of different areas, so we'll see what we can put together to give him a chance to have success.
You said many times that you really like a quarterback to have a little bark to him.
Mm-hmm.
Said that about Andy. In 3 days, Robert walking around this building, does he still have that swagger to him?
Oh, he's not afraid. That's for sure. And neither is Josh. Neither is Connor, neither is Austin. And that's what you want to see. I mean, this is pro football. And you can't shy away or run from the things that maybe there's been fear before. I think at the end of the day, this business is about doing it and getting it done. You know, we kind of talk in our room about getting the job done. And getting the job done at that position is winning. You know, and I think you have to have some inner confidence. Obviously, you got to keep your ego in check. I think we all do. But at the same time, I do want a man that has a little swagger to him, because that guy's got to be your leader. And it's not just RG3. It's also Josh, Austin, and it's Connor. And I think all those guys within their own way have that edge to them. And I think that's really important.
Here's an aerial. A couple times during this press conference, I think a lot of people look at the losses in free agency and the state of the team, and maybe you don't expect a lot of wins next season. Mm-hmm. What's your response to that?
I don't get caught up in what everybody else thinks. I can only worry about what this organization thinks and what our players think. And we know we have a job to do, and like I said, we're just going to keep working at it each and every day. And our job is to win. You know, we're not going to just show up and roll the ball out and say you can have it. We got a lot of work to do, but I think this team, if they keep working and keep pushing, have a chance to do something that people maybe think they can't. But we'll see. And it's way too early to talk about those things, but I've said it from the day I sat up here before. I expect to win, okay? Let's just please. I expect to win. I think our players expect to win. And we understand in order for that to happen, we have to work to win. And that's all we're about right now. We're not about anything else other than that.
After Robert was signed, the reports were that definitely meant that Josh was out. So I'm just asking you, is it possible? Is there a scenario? Let me just ask, is it possible?
Joe Cena, he's on our football team. I mean, I think you guys have talked to him today. I think Josh is excited and happy to be here. And so what we're talking about is in the future. I don't know about all that. I do know this, that tomorrow he's going to be in this building. We're going to get ready. We're going to have another good day. And I think that's the most important thing going right now. Thank you very much. You guys have a good day.
That was Browns head coach Hugh Jackson addressing the media, covering a wide variety of topics, all the quarterbacks, et cetera, what's going on with the Browns. And certainly you cannot say that he is anything less than confident in his abilities as a head coach to get this thing turned around. Hugh Jackson, a very, very positive man, and you felt that coming through. I thought some impressive good press conferences again. But the Browns have won press conferences for years. It's going to be about winning on the field that will be the most important thing. But I did like what I heard. Obviously, Josh McCown, consummate professional, liked what I heard from RG3 quite a bit as well. We had Batonio on yesterday. You know, he's always great. Gary Barnage, always great. And Demario Davis also made a nice impression on people today. All right, we're going to wrap things up when we return. Probably got a lot of breaks to get to since we've been bringing you all the press conferences today. We got to pay the bills. And we'll be back to wrap things up here on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Dino. All right, gentlemen, I'll start with you, Matt Wilhelm. What'd you think of what you heard today? A lot to digest, I know that.
It is a lot to digest, and I think I liked what I heard. I expected to hear what I heard from Josh McCown. That's really never wavered. Even in his opportunities throughout the offseason to be in the building and speak to him personally, that's never wavered. I find it, you know, hard to believe that any professional would shy away from competition, regardless of whether it's young competition, older competition, whatever it is. As I said, I thought RG3 was impressive, you know, with just after 3 days, you know, being in this building, feeling very comfortable.
He does.
Wearing, you know, the Browns garb and representing both himself, speaking, you know, pretty openly and jokingly about his past in D.C., you know, talking about him working on his sliding here in the offseason in Cleveland after 3 days. So I thought he handled it very well. I loved his clothes, you know, with the, you know, what was the clothes again from Ferris Bueller's?
Without pressure, there isn't.
Correct.
Diamonds.
That I like that. You know,
no pressure, no diamonds.
No pressure,
no pressure, no diamonds. I like that. And then from Hugh Jackson, I think it's just an utter confidence in himself. And as he fielded questions about, I think it was from Tony Grossi about the number of hats that he'll have to wear, and he's not shying away from that. I think the expectations that he puts on his staff is significant. And then, of course, the expectation on the players to perform. And then overall, as he believes, as we sit, you know, 3 days into this, we'll call it the season, the start of the season, since the players are now back, that they expect to compete. They expect to win. And the mentalities or the men in the room that don't believe that's possible, or they don't quite get to where Hugh's belief is, or some of the leaders that he's going to mold in that locker room beliefs are, those will be the guys that are not wearing a Cleveland Browns uniform.
I agree with that. I think that he exudes confidence, and everybody's kind of talked about, we know about his charisma. It is going to be interesting to see how that confidence deals with what the Browns are doing. You know, and it's not a rebuilding, it's a reboot, but they're going to have a lot of young players and a lot of young talent on this team that he's going to have to mold and get the best out of. So he does have time. I think it'll be interesting to see how it evolves from, because he is so confident, and he can remain confident. As I said, I think Hugh Jackson and this organization can keep and grow their swagger, even if the record is 4-12 this year, with if they improve and the best play of the season comes in those final four games.
Agreed. And I believe, as Jim Donovan and I talked about last week, if I have a team, and I believe that Cleveland and the Dog Pound and this fan base has a team that goes out and throws punches and not only takes punches and ends up on the losing side of things because of the turnaround that is happening right now, that's going to be okay.
Yep.
I want to see the splash plays. I want to see blows delivered. I want to see teams that don't cross the middle. I want to see teams that are not successful week after week running the football on our defense. I want to see our ability to run the football when everyone knows who we are and success happens. Those things, to me, when you get enough playmakers and everybody is comfortable in their role, it's the compound effect. You know, 4 wins equals 6, 7 wins. 7 wins equals 10 wins. And then you're in that window of winning because of what you've created.
Yeah, what was that, Dino?
1 minute.
Yeah, I think, look, this is always the peak time of year in Berea. Everything's exciting in April. I think it's going to be important to see the right baby steps because they're not going to come out, and maybe they will shock the world. But even me, Optimismo, I'm not expecting a world shocking this year, but I do expect to see progress, improvement, and a young team developing and growing towards something.
And lastly, and I know we got to go, the yes, while Hugh comes across very confident with that charisma, I don't think he's overdoing it by any means, but no. I hope that players are listening and that creeps into who they are. So they don't doubt the Cleveland that's across their chest or who they're playing for when they go out there on the football field 16 times a year.
Agreed. Completely. All right. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. We're going to have a lot of great content for you over the last couple of days. Andrew Healy, who wrote the analytics article on ESPN.com about the quarterbacks, he'll be with us. We hope to have Dane Brugler as well tomorrow. So a lot to get to. We'll also have Gary Barnage, Big Play Gare, tomorrow on CBD. For Dave DiNatale and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.